Comedian Anthony Verdia just walked in. Hey, how are
What's
you?
What's up?
What's happening, man?
Guys, talking about millions?
How you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What Lotto? You,
yep. Well, yeah, the Powerball, it's $800 million.
Oh, yeah.
What would you do with $200 million?
Leave my family.
There you go.
I'd give half to my wife and just disappear.
Exactly, right.
I'd just periodically like pop up to see my kids without her knowing.
Just say, pack, just say pack your bags. I want.
She would probably accept it.
Right.
I'm who like, was? Hey, I won $200 million.
She would feel like she hit the lottery.
Yeah.
I don't see him anymore, but the money's coming.
Right. I just have to be worth more than I am alive.
And you walk up to her and say, with a checkbook and say, how much to make you go away?
I think I would offer her more than she would initially ask for.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to get a bargain. You got to bargain with that.
It's a lot
it's
of
worth
money,
more to me to have you go away than it is to you to have me go away.
Just keep in mind that a
hitman. And also not to fight about it.
Just keep in mind a hitman costs a quarter of this.
I'm a little scared that I'm sitting next to you and you actually know that. It's got like the hitman price guide in front of him.
Yeah, he runs
is it $800 million?
$800 million.
Oh, my
God. No one's
I love people
months.
That's like, I love my job. And I love people that say, oh, I love my job. I'm like, if you won $800 million, would you? Oh, I'd quit. Well, then you don't love your job.
Right. You need to bail out that quickly?
Yeah. I don't think I'd leave my job.
I would still do my job. I'd just do it differently.
I would put so much money into my job that everyone would think I'm like super famous, but I'm not. But I'm just like, I would like pay restaurants and stuff to roll out red carpets and stuff.
Right.
Right.
Everybody would go, who the hell is this guy?
Exactly.
They wouldn't even say comedian at one point.
Even McDonald's.
He just won the Lotto.
Well, what's the grind for a comedian? Because for you, the best part must be on stage and something you wrote down at your kitchen table is now making a whole place laugh.
Oh, I mean, listen, first of all, when it comes to writing, I'm addicted to writing. I guess you can call it comedic suicide. I won't try. Like, some comics go and they'll do it at like an open mic, like 50 people, to see if it hits. I was just at Waterbury, Connecticut last week. We had 2,000 people in the stands.
At the Palace.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, good for you. I saw that crowd. Amazing.
I wrote, had to be over 30 minutes of new stuff that I never tried. And
you tried it there?
Tried it there.
That's crushed. Balls.
Yeah, just cry. I mean, listen.
It hooked up.
If I tell every comedian, like young comedians will reach out to me and I'm like, dude, I don't write what I think is funny.
You
because
look young.
It's a lot.
How young are these comedians?
So I use really good skin. It's funny.
I
looked older in high school. Everyone was like, "Dude, you look old."
You were the first guy to have a beard and you had
it leveled
hair.
Out. It leveled out. Now I'm looking at those guys. I'm like,
that was third grade.
Dude, I'm like, dude, you look old.
Right.
You look old as a 42-year-old.
Right.
Yeah.
But I write stuff down, man, and I tell them, don't write what you think is funny because what you think is funny, the next person might not. Write down what people are going to relate to. And I've honed in on that. So I use 30 minutes of never before used material there. And that's the best feeling when you do something new and it crushes. And I'm like, because I hate doing the new stuff over. I hate doing stuff over and over. It kills
me. It's like, and it's funny because if we go to see a band and they don't play their hit songs, we're like, well, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like,
I have classics.
But you get tired of playing the same song over and over. It's like playing a song.
I have like three classic stories that if I kind of shy away from, I'll get messaged. Like, dude, I told my buddy about that story with your dad. Why didn't you use it? I'm like, well, I was trying to give you guys, this is my sixth time coming back to this place. So people, and no one, I always say it, it's amazing how I'll do like a classic and nobody will shout out the punchline that's heard it.
That's nice.
Great. Yeah.
That's nice.
Respect.
Yeah.
But I hate doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
So when you do 30 plus minutes of brand new stuff, how do you, how do you remember all this and how do you get a flow to where, because your mind is doing multiple things at the same time. You're telling the joke, you're reading the room, and you're kind of sensing the crowd. And you're getting ready for the next thing. It's a lot going on in there.
My head's going to pop off sooner or later because I've been doing this since I was a kid.
Do it on like, stage, though.
So you may want to film tonight.
I don't know, man. I just don't know how I do it. I don't know how my brain processes things. I mean, I'm going at a million miles an hour all the time. But my problem is I'll do the 30 minutes, and then it's crushing so well that I feel bad abandoning sometimes the other stuff. So like Waterbury, I was on stage for an hour and 38 minutes, just nonstop.
Wow.
And I can't say it's a lot. Like, I don't want to sound like, oh, it's easy for me. My brain just works, like, at a million miles an hour constantly. Even when I make the videos, when I do the stand-up, You know, I'll sit, like, I see comedians come up with a phone on the stool
yeah.
to go over their notes.
The new stuff.
I'm not going to knock them for that. I mean, but I would never be able to do that. I can't deliver it unless it's being delivered based off the crowd. The crowd,
my eyesight sucks.
The crowd gets fired up, man.
How do you do it in your head? Do you, Anthony Rodia is in studio. Look him up on Instagram, by the way.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff. How do you, so you must bullet point stuff. You don't, it's not,
no.
it's not a word to word to word to word.
I don't even
structure
do that.
Of the joke.
No, I don't even do that. I start out the show the way I feel comfortable starting it out, whether it's something that's gone on, whether it's, you know, something that just happened or
yeah,
I'm
like
addressing.
Topical.
Yeah.
Like everyone's talking about this, so let me talk about this.
Yeah, and then I'll just roll into it. You know, Halloween is good to talk about when you're especially having kids, and I have a knack for knowing what people relate to. You know, because listen, whatever happens in your life, 90% of the chance, it's not just happening to you.
Right.
It's happening to other people. And if you could talk about what other people relate to, especially if they didn't realize it happened to other people, that's when you really kind of give them that belly laugh. I don't want you giggling. I want you to, like, leave my show in pain.
You want noise.
Oh, my God. I want pain from laughter. That's what I'm trying to accomplish.
Yes. Yeah.
I've gotten women coming up to me, men coming up. One woman came up to Waterbury with her husband. He was mortified. She was like, look what you did. Look. And she showed me her pants. And they were wet. And she was like, I peed. I'm like,
tell me you spilled your drink.
I thought she did. She said, no, it's pee. I'm like, and her husband's like, I told you not to tell him. You're an embarrassment. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm married too. I'm like, right. We can give each other a big hug about it. But, yeah, I want your stomach hurt, and I want you to pee yourself from my show.
How old are your kids?
My son's going to be 3 in January. My daughter just turned 7.
Oh, great ages.
Oh, yeah. My daughter being 7, I feel like I have 2 wives.
Oh.
Yeah,
she tells me what to do more than my wife does.
And then you're in the car, you get the GPS, woman voice telling you what to do.
Right.
I just want to drive into a tree right now.
Do you
know
the funny you said that? I have the voice shut off for that purpose.
Nice.
For that purpose.
Yeah. There's too many people coming at me right now.
And she'll get in my car and she's like, why do you have the voice turned off? Because of you.
Right.
I don't need someone else telling me what to do.
A third female voice.
Don't make, my father never makes that right. Go straight. I said, Waze tells me to go right, I'm going right.
Yeah.
When you turn into a satellite, I will listen to you and your father. My father doesn't go right.
What you got
to
do is take that GPS, throw out the window, and say you're next.
Yeah, right.
Say one more goddamn word, you're next.
That won't go over well.
Yeah.
I'd probably go out the window before
that's
her.
1950s Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that now.
That won't go over well.
Damn it. Yeah. And new book.
Yeah, so what are the kids going to dress up for?
My son's a superhero fanatic, so he's going to be, he's got 3 superhero costumes. I'm like, I'm like, what, why?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, we have a party on Saturday and he wants to be Spider-Man. And then Sunday we have the pumpkin blaze and he wants to be Batman. And I'm like, all right. And then, I think my daughter's going to be a superhero also. And it was so much more enjoyable to, you know, dress up for Halloween before I had kids. I can't enjoy it. Love my kids to death, but they put a lot of pressure on you for that. No, I enjoyed it. Because Halloween, I would be what I wanted. Now I have to be what my kids want me to be.
Oh.
And my son wants me to be a superhero.
So, like, you can't dress up as a giant penis now.
Right.
No.
No. No,
no, it sucks.
Although
I love
be
being that.
To some women.
I was that 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And
I just like, myself.
He wants me to be
a
superhero.
4 years ago. Yeah.
You got to be careful because of what they're watching and seeing, whatever. But he wants me to be a superhero, and I'm trying to explain to him. I'm like, Daddy's barely 5'7". I'm not going to look like the guy on the package.
Right.
You know, and I put on a Batman outfit, and I look like an idiot. It's all big on me. The cape is literally dragging. I look like a bride.
You clean the floor behind you.
I look like somebody in a black wedding dress. Bat bride. That's what
look how clean. I'm going to call myself Swiffer.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm Batman, then I identify as a bride. I can go as that.
Be Super Mario.
I don't have the midsection for a superhero.
Yeah.
No, I don't have it. It's not as tight as it is on the guy in the package. And I can't stand. And then my kids get mad at me. Daddy, why don't you look like him? I don't know. Why don't you have that be your dad?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Stop putting pressure on me.
Why aren't you smart like other kids?
Exactly. Why don't you listen like other kids? Why don't you shut up? I point out other kids all the time. I'm like, hey, Gabriella, you see that girl over there that's listening to her parents? Can we play Simon Says? And can she be Simon? She's like, Daddy, you're ridiculous. I'm like, okay.
Wow. It's amazing how fast they get smart.
They do.
Oh, my, right? My daughter's like a 40-year-old.
That cuteness wears off fast. Like, they, Daddy, what is this? What is that? Yeah. Oh, this is great. Right. This is great. I get to tell you things. They want to be like you. They want to hold your hand. And then they're still in a small body. And now they're telling you what to do.
Right.
Oh, my daughter had a cute stage. I mean, listen, she's adorable looks, but I know not to let those look. Like, those looks can be very deceiving. And she went from really adorable to Daddy asking me all these questions, and now she tells me everything. You know, she's like, well, you're leaving again? I said, yeah, I'm going to work. Mommy says what you do is not really a job.
Oh, wow. She's a mini-me of your wife.
Yeah. I said, what do you mean it's not really a job? She's like, you go on stage and make people laugh. I go, really? Well, when it pays the bills, like your Disney Plus and your iPad, it is a job.
Yep.
I'm like, what kind of income does Mommy have coming in? She's like, oh, you're ridiculous. That's her new thing.
Wow.
And my wife will always chime in. She's like I'm a ball breaker. I grew up with a big Italian family. I break balls.
How many?
My grandfather is one of, I think, 16.
Okay. Jesus.
Yeah, so I have a lot of cousins, uncles, aunts, and ball breaking was a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife, she'll say, I'm a dental hygienist. I go, you're right. You're right. And I have to give you, you know, you do raise the kids, and you took off 6 months to raise Gabriella. 7 years ago. That's the longest 6 months I've ever seen in my life.
You ain't going back to work.
You're a jackass. I go, and you're unemployed. You're unemployed. Yeah, you should be collecting unemployment.
There's
at
a
least.
Lot of filthy teeth out there because of you.
Exactly. People are having cavities because you haven't been back to work because in six and a half years.
Yeah. Anthony Rodriguez in studio just played the Palace Theater in Waterbury.
Awesome.
It was thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good show.
It was incredible. Really,
really
good for
show.
You, man.
Thank you.
Good for
Thank
you. A lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And now it's one thing to be a hard worker and be really good at what you do, but it's really awesome when people notice.
Exactly. Right. Most folks don't.
You could be doing it for a long time and say, just no, it's like you're not breaking through.
Someone pay attention, for Christ's sake.
And then now we got Dean over here from Brewberry and Middlebury.
Yep.
Hey, Dean, how Another are person. You, man?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Guys?
You brought food in?
Yeah. We brought some fried chicken.
Oh, great.
Tuna. Yeah, sorry.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, I like to eat.
Yeah.
You can hand it out anytime you like.
Yeah, food's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the
we enjoy food.
Oh, wow. There's more. There's like a train of people coming in.
What'd
wow.
What, you mean the whole restaurant here?
We're doing,
This is my chef.
Hey!
It's Chef Dean, so it's
Chef
not hard
Dean.
To remember the name.
Dean and Dean. That's good, though.
Yeah, put that right in front of Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Oh, give it to him.
Listen, like, if there's no carbs on it, I'm attacking it. Yeah. Trying to lose like 35 pounds.
Are you trying to lose weight?
I have a boxing match March 23rd.
Oh, really?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Why?
Because I'm just there's something wrong with me.
Someone owes you money.
There's a bunch of guys that I'm friends with that own Villa Barone in Mayapack. They do a boxing night.
Nice.
And I said, do you want to pack it out? I'll be the main event. And they were like, you box? And I took martial arts for like 13 years.
Nice.
But, I mean, it was boxing. And they were like, why do you want to box? I'm like, well, number one, I have a lot of aggression I like to get out.
Exactly. On someone's face.
I always feel it's good to hit somebody.
On someone's face.
I said, number two, it'll get me in shape. I want to lose like 30, 40 pounds. So, yeah, I'm in training
it's
right
incentive.
Now.
Incentive.
And then you walked in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
What
and I have, like, I have, what is this, bacon? What's this, bacon?
Yeah. What is this?
Pork belly?
So, in front of you, we've got
into the mic.
Sorry.
Right into the mic.
Here you go.
Right up. Go right in.
We got some beautiful pork belly right there that we've seared off, and it's got a maple miso glaze on the top and sriracha slaw underneath.
I see that. Okay.
Miso steps, so miso hungry.
Gotta go.
See, as he said that, all I heard was,
Me too.
That's all my senses.
Sounds of heaven.
Yeah, right. I get that a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so we have comedian Anthony Rodia on. Look him up.
Yeah.
Just was at the Palace, thousands of people. And we got Dean and Dean from Brewberry and Vine
the
and
Deans.
Middlebury.
Yes.
We're having the Monsters Ball at Vine tonight.
Yep.
And we're pre-gaming over at Brewberry. So here's a sample of what we can eat when we're pre-gaming.
Seriously.
All right. I'm going to take one right now.
There's a lot going on here.
AJ, dig in.
Go, Chaz. Go.
Yeah. Feel free.
Anthony, I'm surprised that's still in front of you.
I'm trying to be polite. I'm trying to be polite. I wanted to grab the tray and go underneath the desk.
I'm going to jump through this glass.
Like a fire drill.
Oh, my God.
What is this now? It's a giant slab of bacon?
Oh, my God.
All right, so it's pork belly.
Right. So, yes.
That we smoke off for a few hours.
I'm licking my hand right now.
That's pork belly, huh?
That is.
Oh, okay. Very good.
It's first time I've had pork belly at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
I can't say the same.
You came in eating that. Melissa, did you get one?
I didn't.
Listen, you know, I get it a lot. A lot of people like to eat my meat in the morning. It's fine.
Oh, my God, Dean.
That should be a T-shirt. Oh, my God. I'd buy that.
I'm coming in.
Dude, I would get like a plate of pork belly and just throw like five eggs over easy. Over.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That'd be a great breakfast.
Hell yeah.
It's good. Is she coming in here to grab this? Because there's not going to be anything left.
I know.
as we walk around the table,
she's creeping
we've got
behind
a,
you right now.
We've
right.
got a giant Bavarian pretzel with our house mustard and
all
beer
right.
cheese.
That's what I've been looking at.
Go for it, Phil.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
All this stuff available tonight?
It is. Everything that you see in front of you will be available.
I'm thinking a Monster Ball. Doors open at 7:30. So right. if you got there yeah. over at Brewberry at 6.
Right. Before
6:30,
you drink, eat. Yeah, always best.
Stop in there. You park your car once, walk
exactly.
over there, then
right.
you walk right over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then on my side over here, we've got our Rocky Horror Meatloaf for Halloween.
Right.
And then a pepper-crusted seared tuna on some oriental noodles.
Oh, awesome.
And
okay.
then we've got three styles of wings. We've got our Satan's breath wings. And then we have a buffalo, and then we've got a maple bacon.
I was going to say, you may want a piece of gum.
Ironically, so my wife says I have it at 6 o'clock in the morning.
First thing in the morning.
I'm like, good morning. She's like, you have Satan's breath.
Can you put yeah. Satan's breath on this plate, Dean?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
You know what's funny? You
plate.
Know before you breathe into someone's face that right. you have it. Yeah. It's yeah. just that funk.
Let me tell you, I don't know if I'm the only one, but you know like when you'll watch a romantic comedy or romantic movie, they wake up in the morning and they start making out?
Yeah.
I throw up.
Me right. too.
I throw up. Yeah. I'm like, both you now have gingivitis and halitosis. Brush your teeth.
That'd be a cool couple. Gingivitis and halitosis.
Yeah. Right, I'm eating the last pork belly. I apologize for everything.
So good.
It. Go for it.
Yep.
Which one's the Satan's breath?
I'll let you pick.
I'm coming in.
It's, oh. like a, it's like a lottery.
Okay.
You'll right. know when all of a sudden, like, ah! When you start screaming.
Okay.
I think that one is... That's the maple bacon. Yeah, that one. I think.
This one?
Yeah. Okay.
Setting up Anthony over here. There you go.
Oh, thank you.
All done with fork. No, no fingers.
No, it's so fine. Just you could have put your fingers on.
And yeah, you don't know where I've been.
Yeah, this thing.
I have more confidence in your fingers than you do.
Thank you.
Where have most your fingers
folks,
been?
Most folks, too.
Oh, is this tuna?
Yeah.
That is tuna.
Oh, my God.
Actually, one of our guys went fishing, caught it fresh.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Right? What the hell?
I found the hook.
Oh. They told us he was in the Housatonic, and I didn't even know they had tuna there.
That's amazing. It was so easy. It was floating. He's the catch a fish that went.
That's the best, though. We go tuna fishing. We eat the tuna right off the boat.
Nice.
Wow.
You like to cook?
I love
Anthony?
To cook.
Yeah?
Yeah, love to cook.
What's your go-to? What do you like to make?
I mean, Italian food is so easy to make.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do. I call myself a grill master.
Nice.
Well, yeah, I can grill my ass off.
Oh yeah, guys in flame, we work.
Yeah, yeah. I have a fire pit at home, so I'll sear it on the grill at like 800 degrees, and then I'll just slow roast it on the fire pit for like 20 minutes.
Oh, damn.
Oh, wow. My God. Yeah.
He lives on Long Island.
If I could, I would just continue to make love to
you know
food.
You know what's funny? Is years ago, I lived in an apartment complex that had all Middle Eastern people, and every time I ate a steak, all the windows were closed. Slam, like, sorry! For God, sorry! Sorry!
It smells like Grandpa.
Right? I'm like, what did they close the windows for? What's going on right here? I'm like, I mean, you heard it.
There was a smell of curry when I pulled in that parking lot.
I'm sorry.
All right, that is a perfect beer cheese, by the way.
Thank you.
If you haven't gone in there yet.
Agreed.
That is a perfect beer cheese.
Really?
What a great morning.
Oh, my God.
That is nice.
Chicken is insane.
Anthony, where are you tonight? Caroline's?
Yeah, Caroline's on Broadway.
Tonight and tomorrow night?
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think when the next time I'm in Connecticut. Oh, next week.
Nice. Where?
I'm at the Palace Theater in Stamford.
Nice.
No kidding.
Yeah.
The Palace Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It just worked. It worked out
that's
that way.
Awesome.
Palace and Paramount.
Nice.
I mean, the Paramount and Peekskill next Friday, and then
the
Palace.
Tour.
So you're finding that you need bigger and bigger.
The what?
Yeah, I got a pee tour.
You know what? That, you, so I didn't know if I could say that on air, but when he was talking about the food, you didn't see my face when he talked when he spoke about the cake.
Yeah,
it,
no.
Then it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, it's Halloween. He said Rocky Horror.
Right.
I thought he said Rocky Horror Cake.
Rocky Horror Cake.
I'm like, what? What? That could be so many things.
Well, so you do the time warp again. It's just a jump to the left.
Oh man.
Oh, I love it here.
I'm sorry, your mic is on. Try not purring.
Oh,
okay.
My Lord.
We're good.
Tune in to 99.1 to hear people chew.
Exactly.
That's exactly what's happening.
There's people out there that do that. There's YouTube videos where people just watch people eat.
The ASMR. Oh, yeah.
What is that called?
There's something with the sound you're talking
ASMR,
about?
ASMR, was it?
Yeah. ASMR?
ASMR.
Yep.
Yes, where they like the sound of...
That's the overall like umbrella, but there is like a specific term for people who eat. There's no talking. It's just chewing sound.
Yeah,
I could throw up when I didn't.
It's like a mukbang something.
It's weird.
You want to try it for 20 seconds?
It's nice when you put a lot of effort into a video and get like 100,000 views and somebody eating a donut gets 6 million. That tells you where society's headed.
Isn't it
6
nice?
Million views on a guy eating a donut.
Yeah. Yeah.
You make this beautiful video of your mother and father. you're playing both parts.
Right.
Guy's covered in frosting and sprinkles and he's got 6 million views.
Right.
My tongue is
so
smooth.
Happy to have him here. You know what's going to happen. He's going to get so big. We'll just see him on TV and movies and specials, and we'll say, remember when he came in the studio?
No. I think he'll come back.
Oh, so wait. We're going to keep this tape if you say it.
100% you can keep
it.
Okay. I have a rule. I'm very loyal to good people. So there are certain. I forgot it. There's people that you know that even comedy clubs they say the same thing. Oh, you're gonna get big and you're never gonna come back. I'm like, listen, you guys gave me a shot when I was climbing, so I always want to come back to certain places. Because listen, there's certain places, there's certain shows, there's certain comedy venues that will only reach out to me when I get to a certain level, you know. And I'll play them, but. I mean, my heart goes back to the people that actually said, hey, listen, as you're climbing, we want you to come in.
See, right. I got some totally different comedy clubs that go, oh, you're coming back.
Well, no, there's comedy clubs that also try to take advantage early on, and I have a list of places I'll never go back to.
Really?
I love that.
And I remind them once in a while, too.
Oh, that's
like if I see comics go back to a certain place and I don't get along with the owner anymore because he tried to screw me, then I'll say, hey, do me a favor. Can you tell so-and-so I said hi?
That's funny.
And comic did it a couple weekends ago, and the guy goes, we don't talk. And he goes, oh, that's probably why. And he goes, how's he doing? He's doing really well.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I'll remind
him. I kind of love that.
How does a club owner try to screw you? What is it? Like the door? It was slow.
I was 1 year in. I've always done door deals. I don't believe in getting paid one lump sum. Like, pay me for the people I bring in. If I don't bring anybody in, I don't get paid. So it puts more initiative on me. But you know, I would count the people and, you know, they'd say I had 100 people when I had 140 and I would tell them, listen, the bigger I get, the more you're going to want me here. If you screw me over, I'm never coming back.
Right.
And they're like, well, it's 100. I go, okay, I'm never coming back.
Okay.
And
there we go.
And there's like 5 comedy clubs that I'll never perform at again.
Any in Connecticut?
One.
Uh-oh.
No, actually, no. Yeah, one. Yeah. One in Connecticut, like 2 in New York, and 3 in Jersey.
Wow.
Wow, Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. What is going on there?
Jersey's in the lead.
Yep.
Bastards.
It's not a lead you want to be in. It's not a contest you want to win.
Not to be on the bottom, not on top of that list.
Yeah.
If you hear us and it sounds like we're chewing, it's because we are.
It's because we are.
We got Dean and Dean.
Right.
Chef Dean. And then we got Dean Yimenez, the younger Dean. I call him Young Dean.
Right.
Because there's older Dean.
Right. There's no James
Daddy
Dean.
Daddy Dean and younger Dean
no
and
James
Chef Dean.
Dean. Right.
It's the three Deans.
Right.
Two of the Deans are here.
It's a whole Dean scene
Dean
over there.
Dean Square.
Both delicious.
Yeah. And so we're going to pregame our Halloween party tonight over at Brewberry, then walk across the parking lot and go to Vine.
Actually, waddle across it.
I think I might make it.
I haven't had a bad bite of food yet, but
no.
They massively undersold the meatloaf.
Yeah.
He just said meatloaf and just went past it. It's amazing.
No, really? So I have to apologize. I thought it was cake.
You thought it was
so
a horror cake.
I thought it was Rocky Horror Cake. It's Rocky Horror Meat. loaf.
Meatloaf.
With the glaze. The glaze threw me off, but it was phenomenal. I love how you try to do a radio show and eat.
Yeah.
He's trying to like to make it where he doesn't have to talk. He's like, so tell us how it all started since you were 6 years old and then finish now.
Swallow, so I can
finish my meatloaf.
Yeah. give us your
getting in the way of me eating.
You learn to eat fast.
Give us your life story, starting with your earliest memory.
In the span that some people take a breath, I'll eat a wing.
Well, they eat a 5-course meal over here.
Oh my God. Is that mustard homemade?
Wasn't there food you played a moment ago? Yeah, but you sneezed.
I'm gonna bathe in that mustard.
I had to show my face.
Oh my God. Sorry. So good.
Let me tell you the happy accident I just had is I put
in your pants? Or?
No, AJ, I put the meatloaf on the same plate that I just ate the salty pretzel on, and some of the salt was residual from on the plate, and I was eating it. I was like, oh, so you get like a little crunchy salt on the bottom of the meatloaf.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's great.
Oh, it was so happy.
Chef Dean.
Did you bring
a new discovery?
Yeah, yeah. I want to crush a salt and snort it.
Wow,
that is good salt.
That's
all right,
good salt.
Tell us how you really feel. I want to do an 8-ball of salt.
I probably won't last long after.
I want to be Tony Montana with high blood pressure.
Look at me. You're right. You look like a raisin at the end. All the moisture sucked out of my body. Wow, it was like a piece of beef jerky.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
This is how you know you're like past your. I'm assuming everyone here is over 30.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you know. You start when you're younger. You moan like that when like you're having sex or you know making out. Once you get older, you know how much I moan with food.
Yeah.
Like if you had your ear to a wall and I was eating a steak, you'd be like, "Oh my God, he's got like 6 women in there." I'm like, "Oh, is this medium rare? Oh, did you sear this? Oh,
he keeps yelling, it's so juicy."
Yeah. So juicy.
He's weird. He wants mushrooms and onions on her.
Put it in my mouth.
Put gorgonzola on it.
What does au jus mean? What's au jus mean? He's yelling au jus.
He's like, "Oh my God, he's gonna put gorgonzola on. He's gonna get an infection."
This guy's sick. He wants a potato skin. What's that mean?
No, but you're right. We'd go to parties, and it used to be, oh, my God, the women there were hot. Right. Now it's like, that steak was awesome.
Right.
The buffet they had was amazing.
That's the first thing I look for now. First thing I look for. Yeah, you're 100% right. You used to walk in and go, girl to guy ratio is 5-1. I'm going to lose my mind.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God, they have sushi and finger food.
Yeah. Between age 30 and age 50, a spread's totally different.
Right. You're 100%. And there's different reasons why you can't touch. Like in my 37, I would go into a room and go, so many hot women, but I can't touch them because I'm married. Now I'm like, oh, my God, is that carrot cake? I can't touch it. I have diabetes. I can't touch it.
Carrot cake and the molten lava cake.
Oh,
I'm sweating.
Then you start asking people, I can't eat it. Can you just tell me if it's good?
Yeah. Right. You live through their taste
buds. Yes. You watch them like a voyeur.
I'm like, can you chew it slow and then burp in my face? Oh, what is it? Satan's breath?
Wait, don't waste any time.
Satan's breath.
If you feel it, just go for it.
I'm going to use that like 6 times this weekend. I'm like, dude, don't you have gum? You have Satan's breath. Feels like there was an exorcism in your mouth.
You just burn my nose hairs.
Anthony Rhodey is in studio. Caroline's tonight and tomorrow night. And then when are you at the Palace in Stanford?
November 5th, next week.
Oh, I got to go.
Damn. Yeah. Make sure you call in the show.
Yeah.
We'll call some more
smooth
tickets.
Yeah, that's fine.
People need to know about you.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
People need to know about that whore cake, too.
I love whore cake.
You could walk into work. They were eating whore cake on the air this morning.
I'm saving whore cake for last.
It's actually a whore loaf.
When I go
whore loaf.
What's that, Dean?
When I go back to work tonight, I'm going to work on that recipe. Figure out what ingredients I would use for whore cake.
You should make it like the shape of a woman. Who wants a piece?
You know, there's somebody right now getting triggered. Right now.
I can't believe they just called the cake a whore. It's offensive towards all cakes.
Anthony Rhodey. Rhodey.
Rhodey.
How many different ways have you heard that name pronounced?
Today?
6 today.
6
Well, he had food
today.
In his mouth before, so he had an excuse.
Right.
I played high school baseball, so I was announced a lot. I heard rodeo, radio, ridea. I thought I'd make it like the D is capital.
Right.
Yeah. You haven't butchered it, really.
Okay. No.
No.
Okay.
They slapped around a little bit.
Yeah. Anthony Rodia.
Right, exactly.
Rodia or Rodia?
Rodia.
Rodia. Rodia.
Yeah.
Rodia.
You haven't made a whore cake out of this yet.
I'm having a whore cake right now.
Please look him up. Yeah. Really funny guy. Yeah, I would say he's on the launch pad, but he's already taken off. Yeah. He's already launched.
Yep, he's up there.
Appreciate that.
Then Palace and Stanford next week.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah, Caroline's two nights tonight and tomorrow night.
Yep.
And Marnie is all over me on this beer. I was like, Marnie, I can't drink on the air. Like, well.
I know. I know. You can try it.
What is that? So Dean and Dean are here from Brewberry.
Yes.
And Vine.
Yep.
Brewberry's where we're pre-gaming. You don't need a ticket to pre-game with
us. No, you don't. No.
You need a ticket to get in, and it's sold out. So sorry about that if you didn't get a ticket.
Right.
But somebody asked about reservations. So 10 or more, you can reserve a table at Brewberry tonight.
Recommended for 10 or more. Otherwise, feel free to walk in.
They make their own beer over there. And there's a lot of places that they have somebody else make the beer, then they bring the beer over and they put their label on it. But when you walk in there, the tanks are right there. They're
you
making
can see
the beer
it,
right
yeah.
there.
Oh,
that's
right.
pretty cool.
Their double IPA himself, yeah. is the best double IPA I've ever had.
Yep.
Is that it right there?
Yes. Yeah.
Damn it.
Double IPA? Double vision. Double vision, double IPA.
I wish it was 10 of 10, not 10 of 9. What's that? I can take it home?
Yeah, you can bring it home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. I might not make it tonight.
You can put a seatbelt. You can put a seatbelt around it.
Anthony, you a beer guy or wine guy or what do you like?
I'm not a beer guy. No. Wine. I'm a tequila guy.
Me too.
Yeah, I love it. But I get yelled at for how I drink my tequila. I don't like the taste of alcohol. I'm not a huge drinker.
Right.
Tito's and tequila is the way I go, but yeah. I always have to have something in it.
Like what?
Ice.
Tequila.
I'm going to upset a lot of men out there. Uh-oh. Because, I mean, I'm like one umbrella away.
from the same drink. Way.
But I need, you know, yeah, ice, obviously. But, like, my go-to is pineapple mixed with cran.
That's cool.
I was at the Borgata performing, and I take my dad and a couple of my buddies, and we go to the spa in the morning. Right? First of all, my father's never had a massage, and I tell the story on stage. And right. With my dad, everyone's like, how do you have new material? I have a dad.
I just hang out with my family.
Right, then I call my uncles, right. and I watch my kids.
Right.
And I get yelled at by my wife. So we're in the Borgata, and we're in the spa, and they had this, it was like 9 o'clock in the morning, so they had this pitcher of juice on ice, and I pour it, and I'm drinking it, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's the best juice I've ever had in my life. And then my buddy drinks it. He's like, oh, my God, that's so tropical. And I'm like, what do you think it is? He's like, I don't know, dude. That might be guava. I've never had guava. I'm like, dude,
I don't even know what that is.
I think that's papaya.
I can't even spell it.
And he's like, papaya? Really? I was like, yeah, dude, maybe it's guava mixed with papaya. And the
this
girl.
This is definitely not 13-year-old Anthony.
No. The girl working at the spa starts dying.
Oh, no.
And she goes, you two are idiots.
What did she go?
You're performing tonight. You have to tell the story on stage. I go, why? Why is it so funny? She was like, dude, it's cranberry and pineapple juice. I'm like, really? I'm like, you could have lied to me. You thought it was like something exotic. I'm like, I guarantee
it's like ocean spray.
Yeah, I was afraid it'd be like some kind of foot scrub.
This food has hair on it. And now I mix cranberry with pineapple, do it with tequila. But
that
my go-to drink, if anyone out there knows what Fresca is.
Yes. Fresca's awesome, yeah.
Can you still find it?
Yes, you can. Yeah. Yep, it's available.
Is it harder to find
it's
it?
It's harder.
Look by the cheaper sodas.
I found it all down south. There is like something going on with the 12-ounce cans, but you can get a 2-liter bottle. But Fresca and tequila,
nice.
Oh, really?
Guess what I'm doing next weekend?
I'm gonna write that down.
Yep. No calories, no carbs, nothing. I don't know if there's no calories, but there's definitely no carbs.
Yep. I drink mine straight. My tequila. Straight.
I can't do that. Sometimes, like if I have to look like I'm manly. I'll just tell the lady, I'm like, yo, dude, put water in it
right.
with a lime,
yeah. right.
and I'll lie.
See,
and
I
if you could,
out,
yeah, just right. like take your finger and put tequila on the rim. It smells like it. So I don't want to taste it.
Yeah, I start out straight, but I start bending towards the end.
Now, I have to have can't water on the side just because, you know, when you're talking to people, you have to take a sip of something.
Yeah.
And if I just have tequila.
Oh, yeah.
5 minutes into the conversation, I'm like, "Damn it, all, Bob."
That's what happens to me. I'll keep on sipping the drink. I won't drink the water. Next thing I know, I'm like, "Why is there five of you?"
Yeah.
I have no tolerance, man. Yeah. I have no tolerance. As soon as like one of my shoes come off, it's downhill.
Yep.
In between wives, I knew I was drinking a lot.
Uh-huh.
I was married for 19 years, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you're in your 40s. Right. You have money.
Yep.
But now you're like a kid again.
Yeah.
I was partying a lot.
Yeah.
And I went to a strip joint with a bunch of friends because it was a client. It was a client trip.
Right. It was a work trip.
I would never.
Exactly right.
Work trip.
Never patronize
no.
places. Yes.
No.
Right.
He had the addiction.
Right. So we're in this private room and the dancers are going around. And one comes up to me. And this one I knew I had a problem.
Uh-oh.
She goes, "You drink a lot of tequila."
Wow.
You can taste that?
When a stripper says,
you can taste that?
A lot.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
When a stripper's telling you about your vice,
right.
You need help.
She's giving me life advice.
Right. When
she's
a person who's on heroin tells you you're drinking too much tequila,
you got a 30-year-old still paying for college telling you have an alcohol problem.
Yeah. Right, right. When her arm looks like the dartboard for an archery team.
I knew then I needed to change my direction in life.
Going for a dart team?
I was walking to the store to get coffee in the morning, and a homeless person told me I smelled like tequila.
Told me get a job, you bum.
Yep.
But I can feel you on that. As soon as I turned 40, so I started doing comedy full-time at 38, 39, and you're 100%. You turn into a kid. I'm my vice is watches and cars.
Nice.
And I got a midlife crisis car, and I didn't tell my wife.
What kind
about
of car?
It.
What'd you get?
Audi R8.
Nice.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Those are fun.
It's my everyday car.
That's
are you kidding me?
I have brought it here.
Yeah.
It's insane. One of my so I worked for Audi for years, and I always told myself I need that car. I want that car.
Yeah.
So ironically, Patrick has that car.
Yes,
and again,
he does.
I have no clue what my boy Patrick
Audi
does.
Club. Okay. So
but he does
Patrick.
Well.
Dean, you know,
nobody knows what Patrick does. But
I just want to say, the first second I saw that car, the commercial, it blows through the snowbank.
Yeah. Car's phenomenal. I bought obnoxious. I hunt. You know, my dad had me hunting since I was a kid, so I bought a pickup truck.
Nice.
My wife goes, "You don't need one." I said, "Well, I'm getting one." She goes, "Do not pull in this driveway with a pickup truck." I went to buy the pickup truck, and I said to the salesperson, I said, "I want the most obnoxious pickup truck." I said, "My goal." He goes, "What are you going to use it for?" I said, "To piss my wife off." I bought a Ram Black Widow.
Nice.
Hooked up. I mean, it's I'm 5'6"
Yep.
You know your truck's too high for you when you have to count to three before you jump out of it. Like, I literally have to jump out of it. So then I said, you know, I always tell every married couple out there, if it's not going to get you divorced, do it. Do it. So she goes, "That's it with the cars. Stop." I said, "Okay."
Oh, no.
We're outside with the kids one morning, and a pickup truck pulls up with the extension on the back, you know, the transporter extension enclosed.
And what's on it?
So I live on the end of a cul-de-sac, so there's nowhere to go. So she's like, "What the hell is that?" I'm like, "I don't know. Somebody's getting a pretty nice delivery, though." So the back opens up. You hear, I'm sitting there like a little kid. I'm like, "Oh, my God." The car pulls out. She's like, "What the hell is that?" I'm like, "That's my R8. Like, "You got another car?" Like, "Yes." And then you can't do anything about it.
Oh, I want to see that before you leave.
Yeah, it's right.
Can you hang out for one more?
Yeah.
Dean and Dean, thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank
you. Love you guys. Oh, my God. Brewberry, best double IPA.
Yeah.
We're going to pregame tonight there.
Yep.
If you want to come, a group of 10 or more, you can make a reservation. If not, first come, first serve.
Try the pork
Chef
belly.
Dean, awesome.
Seriously.
Man.
Yeah.
You are at the top of your game,
you guys
brother.
Kick ass,
yes.
Man.
Comedian Anthony Rodia in studio.
Yes.
He's at Caroline's tonight and tomorrow night, and then coming to the Palace in Stanford. So if you're listening to us on 95.9 The Fox, it's right there.
Yep.
You go to the Palace in Stanford.
Step out your front door.
Next week.
Done.
Awesome venue.
Yeah. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it something about those theaters.
Yeah. It's a nice vibe.
I mean, I like comedy clubs because, like, I go to Levity Live a lot, Caroline's, Governor's on Long Island. That's kind of where I started. But I like that setting because it's intimate. You're right there. But to be able to walk on a stage with, you know, 1,500, 3,000 people in a theater, it kind of hits you. It's like, wow. It's like, you know, all these people came to see me perform.
How do you have to adjust? Do you have to wait a little bit longer for the joke to get in the back of the room? How does that work?
I mean, you know, like the Palace Theater in Waterbury, we had, you know, basically 2,000 people there. When you know, like I said, I want to hurt you with laughter. So I have a lot of bits and stories that literally murder the crowd. It's nonstop laughing because as I'm telling the story, there's little punchlines in that story and it just keeps building. So if I'm telling a bit for 10 minutes, it's laughter the whole 10 minutes. The only problem is when you have 2,000 people belly laughing, the laughter extends a little bit and you definitely have to wait.
So you slow down just a little
bit. Yeah, and that's another thing I tell comedians. If you're killing a room, let them laugh. let that laugh come out. Don't speak over it.
Yeah.
Because number one, they're going to miss some of what you're saying. Number two, let them laugh. Let them get that entire belly laugh out and then hit them again and then hit them again.
And sometimes I notice...
That's the boxer in you're talking.
Yeah.
Right.
Hit him. Wait for the opening.
And sometimes letting that lull come and hitting the next joke, I notice, is pretty effective.
Yeah, so. And one thing I've tried to avoid is, you know, because I grew up on comedy. I watched so much comedy.
Who did you like?
I'm an old school guy. I mean, I love George Carlin.
Carlin's
Don,
awesome.
Don Rickles. You know, I mean, he was the king of roasting. You know, now I like Bill Burr, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle.
Hart's awesome too.
I like guys that aren't afraid to be comics, that, you know, they're not going to go woke or, you know, worry about who the hell is going to get offended. If you're offended at a comedy club, instead of complaining and telling them to change, have respect for the people that have the skin for it and just leave. I mean, I say it at every show. I'm like, if you get offended, there's exit signs for that. You can just get the hell out of my show.
Nice.
Yeah. I always think it's like going to a steakhouse and saying, how come I can't get Chinese food here?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like, why are you serving this beef isn't the place here? For that.
Stop what you signed up for.
Why are you serving beef
go
here?
Go down the street.
Sake. Yeah.
I can't stand it, man. And I get it all the time. Like, people will go, oh, I came to your show and I was a little offended because, you know, you use foul language. I go, the fact that you said it as foul language, you should lock yourself in a basement.
That's more offensive to me than any curse.
100%. I'm like, I'm offended that you couldn't say cursing. Like, right. foul language.
Yeah, what am I, a friggin' duck?
I go, I'm going to go on a limb here and say you've only had sex in missionary position. I'm going to go on a limb.
Right. Is that a bad thing, by the way?
Well, not anymore.
I'm over 50. Well, listen, I know what I like.
I'm 42 years old. I say it. I'm not doing the triathlon. If it's go time, I'm like, what position you want to do tonight? Yeah. If there's another position, put on the calendar for next week. I'm not changing. I'm not switching. I'm not flipping. I'm not pulling a muscle.
I'll study during the week.
I'll study up for the test.
Well, I need the video.
I've become predictable.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody likes everybody.
I was gonna say.
Everybody leaves happy.
You should.
High five.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yep. My hand doesn't fall asleep. I'm good.
I have to leave. There's food. There's sex. I gotta get out.
Yep. It's ladies first. That's the main
first.
Rule.
Right.
Because once I'm done, I don't care about anything.
Right.
Yes.
Leave me alone.
Right.
I'm so glad you said that.
That's good though.
Ladies first.
Yeah. No hugging.
I'll smoke a cigarette. I'll smoke a cigarette.
No cuddling.
Always
get right back to marriage. Start insulting me.
I'll put a tattoo of my own name on my arm.
Ladies
that's
first.
Right. I'm going to smoke this with myself.
I wish I could go a little further right now.
I know.
That's another observation.
Yeah, I think we're all biting our tongues.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. That's the thing.
That's because it still tastes like meatloaf, though.
And you know what? This is not how you want to feel in a comedy show.
No.
No, you want to just feel like
let it rip out there.
I mean, listen, I say it all the time. Comedy. If you're looking at comedy as a direct attack, whether I spoke about something that hit close to home or whatnot, if you're looking at comedy as an attack, you have no business being at a comedy show. Comedy right now is so needed. It should be used as an escape from whatever you're going through.
Preach.
And I always loved making people laugh, but having a fan base and reading emails and talking to my fans back and forth, like I try to respond to everybody, finding out how many people really, where it's not just a laugh for them. You know, I have people, you know, I was in the hospital for 6 weeks. You're the only thing that made me laugh. Or I lost my sister, my brother-in-law, I lost a family member. And you were the one to make me laugh. So to know what laughter does for some of these people, and then you get the jackasses that want to criticize the fact that they didn't like it. One thing I hate is when they go, you're not funny. No, I'm not funny to you.
Right.
And you know what? Trust me, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
I can live with that. That's a good thing.
What I want you to do is I want you to tell all your friends to go along with you and stop being fans as well, because if you're the way you are, your friends are just like you, and I want you to help me out with that.
Yeah.
It's insane. Some people don't understand. People that don't understand something, they're very narrow-minded about it. So to say something's not funny when a whole room is laughing at it, you know, and then you actually think.
Right.
I had one lady, we did a show of 1,500 people, standing ovation at the end. She waits till the entire meet and greet is done, comes up to me and goes, you're not funny.
Interesting.
And I go, well, I have 1,499 people that disagree with you.
Yeah,
well, they're all sick. I go.
And I love them.
I said, ma'am, can I ask you a personal question? Are you single? She goes, yes. I go, yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
And she goes, you're rude. Yeah, I know.
How many cats do you own?
Right. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm going to offend some of the cat owners. It's not all of them. But 94% of people that get bothered and message me on Facebook or Instagram, I go to their profile, it's a picture of a cat. It's almost all, 94% of the time. I don't know what's going on with cat owners, but you guys need to toughen up. They end up acting like they're cat. You see a dog. You walk in, dog licks you. Dog jumps on you. Dog humps your leg. Dog loves you. A cat, they don't care if you're home or not. They're just roaming around, nose in the air. That's how their owners are. For the most part, it's at 94%.
Right.
I'm going to get messaged. I have a cat, and I'm fine with comedy. I know. You're the 6%.
They need you to know.
Yeah, you're the 6%.
They have the cat.
Oh, my God.
Anthony Rappia, just so you know, if you're a cat person, contact Anthony. He wants to talk to you about cats.
I think here, we all are here. We're all cat people here.
Well, everybody's chiming in this morning on my social. I put something last night. I was mind blown. My friend of mine at the golf outing yesterday said he was reading a book to his kid, and he said to his wife, he goes, look, they spelled this word wrong, and it was wheelbarrow. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What the hell is a wheelbarrow? He's like, the thing with the handles and the wheel. Mm. Like, you mean a wheelbarrow? He goes, it's not barrel. And I Googled it. I'm like, oh, my God. I've been saying this wrong my entire life.
Wait a minute. No, it's the New York version.
Yeah.
You probably pronounce it wheelbarrow.
I do.
It's wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
I thought it was wheelbarrow.
You're right. No, so now I...
Phil's shaking his head, yes.
I have to call my dad to apologize because I thought he was mispronouncing it with his accent. When I was a kid, he used to go, oh, go in the garage. You gave me the wheelbarrow. I'm like, it's barrel. He goes, no, I think it's a barrow. I go, there's no barrow. It's wheelbarrow. Are you Googling it?
Yeah.
It's wheelbarrow.
That's a classic spelling bee trip up right there.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, wheelbarrow, yeah.
It's a wheelbarrow.
Yep.
People are messaging me. They're sending me pictures of Home Depot.
And it's one word. It's not two separate words.
Right. That's another thing that blew my mind. Yep.
Yeah.
One word.
Yeah.
So I told my wife, I said, you deal with Gabrielle when it comes to English and spelling. I'll deal with the math because I'm not equipped.
Can we go back to the origins of this thing?
Okay.
Because we know it started with someone took a half barrel.
Right.
And put wheels on it.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a wheelbarrow, and we just got tired of saying barrel. I didn't think I'd learn something here today.
You know what's crazy? So I'm like, I Google everything. I'm a mind of useless information. So while he was saying this, he goes, and I was wondering what the hell a barrow is. I go, well, a barrow is either a mound or a castrated pig that hasn't reached sexual puberty or maturity yet.
Oh, I'm a barrow.
He goes, what? I go, yeah. He goes, how the hell do you know that? But you don't know this is a wheelbarrow. I go, I don't know why, but I looked it up and I realized that a barrow was a hog that was castrated. Wow. I don't know.
It was a half barrel. It had to be.
Yeah.
And they put wheels on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you're as mind blown as I was yesterday.
I'm thinking of a person with a cleft palate
my whole freaking life.
This one guy with a cleft palate and named it wheelbarrow. Wheelbarrow.
You know, Anthony's saying this and he's thinking, guess what I learned?
Right. Like, yeah.
Wait, what?
No, there's a lot of people on my social media that learn the same exact. And then you get the people that go, I knew it the whole time. All right, congratulations.
Yeah, okay.
Congratulations.
Smart. Right.
You get a gold star. I knew it the whole time.
Yeah, did you know your zip is undone?
Right. Did you know you have no personality and no friends?
Right.
Did you know that?
No one likes you?
No. It has to be.
Did you know that you could fit all your friends in a wheelbarrow?
Barrow, I said. Yes.
Anthony Rodia's in. Caroline's tonight, tomorrow night, and then Palace in Stanford next week.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
We are booked for the entire year. I think I'm already booked, I think, every weekend until next June.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I can
see
that.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Get another R8?
No, that won't go over.
We buy next.
And you're in Nassau County?
Nothing yet. You get in trouble.
You can't afford too many garages over there.
I get in trouble.
No, taxes are nuts.
I'm begging to move back to Westchester, but that's not looking too good.
Why, does she have family over there?
My mother-in-law lives 4 houses up.
Oh, Jesus.
4 houses?
Yeah.
Well, she lives on the other block, but the way it conveniently worked out for them, and my mother-in-law is awesome. I have a really, really good mother-in-law. But you go up, I live in a cul-de-sac with a little side street. If you go up the side street, her backyard is, 3 houses away. So her backyard is probably, 100 feet from my front of my house. Yeah. It's good for me when there's food involved.
Yeah.
It's good for watching the kids, too, right?
Yeah.
You want to go out with the wife? That rare occasion, you want to actually take her out and spend time with her?
Doesn't happen much. She's absolutely, and I am too, but she is obsessed with being with the kids. I mean, you know, she's home with them every day. But she, you know, like, I remember I said to her a couple weeks ago, I said, hey, why don't we just go somewhere for like 2 days? She means, what do you mean? I'm like, why don't we fly somewhere? She's like, without the kids? I'm like, yeah. She's like, what if the plane crashes? They have no parents.
Oh, I go, my God.
We'll go on separate planes.
I'm on a plane 8 times a month. I've never seen you worry about flights before. I'm like, what the hell? She's like, yeah, no, that scares me. I'm glad you're so scared when I take off. Great, appreciate it.
Thanks for caring.
Right. What if the plane crashes when I'm on it?
Right.
That's what she really meant to say.
Right. But how did you guys meet?
At an outdoor bar on Long Island.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
are you performing or are you hanging out?
No. I was doing finance before this.
Outdoor bar on Long Island.
Yeah.
Coco's?
No, Patty McGee's.
Okay.
Patty McGee's. And then I remember I got her number. I called her. She didn't answer. And then I didn't call back. And 3 weeks later, I went back there. And she was online as I was walking in. Yeah. So
you again.
Right.
Either
she was doomed or I was doomed. I don't know. But no, hey, I started this. I did comedy as like open mics and stuff when I was in my 20s. A couple times. Not a lot. Like, I have all the respect for the guys that grinded it out before social media that had to go to comedy clubs and just day in, day out. And then I got married at 34, and I made good money. I supported my family. I just hated my job. And I was at work 70, 80 hours a week.
Oh,
and,
man.
I remember I just started, I said, I'm
doing finance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I liked it. It was just, I never saw my daughter at the time. And
I don't mean to stereotype finance people, but you don't seem nerdy.
No.
You know, I always picture just nerdy people doing finance.
No, I'm like a human calculator when it comes to numbers. Like, really? I was always good at finance.
Nice. But you didn't know wheelbarrow. I didn't either.
It has nothing to do with math.
That's how we knew the club was screwing up the money.
I know to convert pounds into ounces.
Wow.
So I hated it. And I remember I said to myself, it was funny because I said, if the Kardashians could be famous and they have absolutely no talent whatsoever, they just have a following. And you can't fault them for it because they feed their base. They give their base
what
they want.
They know exactly who they're talking to.
100%.
The crazy fox, yep.
And I started the videos, which created an audience. And then I said, if I can create an audience, I can get people in seats. And I remember I came to work March 18th, 2019. And I said to myself, if I look at my quarterly statement and I made the same or more doing comedy than I did at work, I'm quitting. And I had 7 months of shows lined up. I had a small agent that I was working with. And I made more in comedy. I walked into a finance meeting, cursed out the entire company and all the owners. And
do it in style.
And I left. Nice. And she was going to divorce me because when I got home, I told her. And she goes, what are you doing home at noon? And I said, I quit my job. She's like, when? I said, this morning at 8. She's like, why are you? And I worked in Greenwich.
I recorded it. Listen. Yeah.
I did record it.
Did you?
You just said that. I made a video. I had the whole conversation recorded.
Nice.
And she says, how the hell are you home at 12? I said, well, I stopped at the diner. I have pancakes by myself. Glorious.
I love that.
And
living it up.
She told me she was pregnant with my son. And that, I think, motivated me even more. And I said, listen, it's March. If I don't grow or I don't get busier by December, I'll go back to work. And thank God. I mean,
rest is history.
Yeah.
I like how you burnt the bridge, though.
I torched the hell out of it.
It's like, yeah. I can't come back here. Now I have to make it.
Well, it was a great, you know, place to work, and I just burned it. They found out that I was doing comedy on the side. My numbers were great, but they didn't like that my concentration was somewhere else as well. And they were going to fire me. And I remember they hired a guy. He found out he was replacing me. They didn't know that we worked together years prior, and him and I were friends. And he goes, I'm not taking the job. At this point, they already told the entire company, so I knew. So I was going to work for 3 weeks knowing I was going to get canned. So, not a cool
thing. Yeah, that's the kind of place you want to burn the bridge.
I hit that thing with a missile.
I'm not coming back here.
It's still smoldering.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, F you, F you, F you, me and you get along, F you, F you.
Personalized.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
To this day, nothing grows caring in that spot.
What's that?
To this day, nothing grows in that spot.
Yeah, completely nuked. The ground is still warm, like Chernobyl.
I hit it with a nuke.
Anthony, thank you so much for coming in, bro.
Yeah,
to make the ride in. Call in next week so we could talk about the Stanford show.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Anthony Rodia. We're linked up on the radio station website. Thank you, brother.